sudden it'll just come in.
You've never seen Shanklin Theater at Evansville, no. What they did midsummer, and they flew all the fairies.
That's a long time ago, right?
No.
Oh, that's recent.
Yeah.
Did they all say,
they did assassins, and then they did, shut up, David.
That's beautiful.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to episode 30 of Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. This episode is entitled...
What the f**k? Are you kidding me?
Or... Dealing with Profanity and Adult Language and Adult Situations in Community Theater. Boy, that's a big topic, isn't it?
I think we
have to deal with it all the time. I would imagine that I'm sure we are not the only community theater that's ever had a pause about, hey, do you leave that F word in there or do you take it out or what do you do with it? You're really not supposed to change the scripts, but you sometimes have that temptation because the audiences just won't accept it.
You know, legally, if we wanted to talk about the legality of the whole thing, the author has the rights to their work. It is their art, and that is what they do. And when you sign a contract with a licensing house, a publishing house, that contract says that under no circumstances is language to be changed in the show. So you can't change character. You can't change. So you're not supposed to make a man into a woman. Uh-huh. You're not supposed to change the language either. In fact, I not too long ago, well, I guess it's been, that's dating me. Okay. 10 years ago, there was a local community theater who was doing a production of Barefoot in the Park.
Yes.
And they switched the genders of the parents. And by switching the genders of the parents, due to
they made the
mother into the father and the father into a mother.
Basically, yeah, they switched
and because
the lines.
Of the abilities of the actors, they felt like their actors were stronger, the male or the female. I'm not sure how that worked, but anyway, and they also changed the setting of the show, and they moved it from New York City to their own hometown, and the licensing house found out. And shut the show down.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is a very finicky situation.
And I guess I guess there's a tendency. Maybe some people think that that's pretty harsh, but it isn't really, because that's that author's artistic vision, right?
Right.
It's not something to be messed with. You either want to do the play or you don't want to do the play.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on, like, the plays that were written back in the quote unquote olden days don't have a lot of swearing in it because they just didn't do that on stage at all.
No.
I mean, Kaufman and Hart, there's no language as such. Arsenic and Old Lace doesn't have any. The closer you get to modern playwrights, the more language you find. But I think that most playwrights and most licensing houses are aware of the fact that for different communities, they will only, you know, your community will only stand so much language.
Right.
And that you have to censor it or cut it out or whatever you call it in order to produce the play. And I think really, if it's just a matter of changing, damn it, from something else, that they're okay with that. I mean, it's not a huge change, and it doesn't make the character any different.
Well,
it's just that I think they'd rather get their money from the play than, you know, quibble over cutting a few swear words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have, when people call on the phone and ask about certain shows with us, and they say, "Is there language in it?" We've come up with
English.
They do talk to each other. Yeah, right.
We've come up with an abbreviation system. So there are no GDs. There are 5 S's, and there are no F's in the show. So, we've actually gotten to the point now where I kind of even certain shows for example, we might even put more like a movie rating on it. So sometimes, because I'm responsible for also recording the answering machine at the theater, I'll actually say, this show would carry a, movie rating of PG-13, or this show would carry a movie rating of R. And then that allows people to at least kind of have some sort of mental image of where that show is going if they know that they're going to have a problem with language. Of course, everything that we send out about a show that does have adult situations and language in it is always commented that it has adult situations and language. It's, of course, amazing to me the number of people who choose not to read that information and then are offended anyway, when they come to see the show. Yeah. But we make sure that it's always publicized that way. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing a radio promo, I publicize it. Any print literature is always publicized. And even in our annual brochure, it's publicized as adult situations and language so that, you know, that it kind of infiltrates the psyche over that period of time that, hey, folks, if you have any problems with language or adult situations, this may not be the show that you want to attend.
But even showing up, we even have had folks that show up at a play that's been flagged that way, that it has adult language, and then they walk out offended.
They do.
Or they write letters or whatever. But it seems to me that, you know, you run the risk of offending people with virtually any entertainment, I would think. I mean, somebody may have a problem with something somewhere.
Sure.
But I don't know.
You know what? You cannot please everybody all the time. And if there are people that are going to do that, not read even a warning, it's like if you're going to fire a gun or smoke cigarettes or something on the stage, that's always posted. And we do always post when if there's any kind of quote-unquote language or situations. If they choose to ignore that initial warning, too bad. Then, you know, that's tough on them. If they don't like it, they have a right to leave.
Yeah.
They can't say they weren't warned.
Yeah. And the case, of course, is that the case can be made that there are some plays, and not all plays are like this, that it contain language. Not all plays that contain language really need it, but it's pretty hard to imagine Glengarry Glen Ross without the language in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so because it's just sort of integral to the whole artistic vision of the whole play.
Well, that's David Mamet, and he's
right.
Yeah. That's any play of his is like
sure.
that.
Yeah,
you know, and well, for example, our theater produced Proof, and I mean, just that the lead female character is having a breakdown on stage, and part of that breakdown is the language. I mean, it's through language, mm-hmm. you know, and you see that and you hear it. Audiences don't necessarily want to hear it all the time, but if you're going to produce a show like that, I would think that you'd want to keep the language in.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And that's when you just put, we even put very strong language sometimes. And for example, with Proof, everything went out very strong adult language so that people knew that they were getting a number of S's, a couple of F's, and for uh-huh. sure some GDs.
Can I just interject this? I think it's really funny to say adult language when who uses that language the most anymore?
Right.
Not yeah. adults.
That's
it's
true.
The kids.
It is
not even adult mentality.
Exactly.
Very often, yeah.
Exactly. So I think to call it adult language is kind of hanging the adults with something they don't
yes.
they don't need.
It's grown-ups.
Yeah.
We're grown-ups. We can say the F word because we're grown-ups.
But they don't.
Yeah, they
most
don't.
Most of them don't.
Do you think it's okay to change the language? I mean, I know that it's
not. I think if you're going to change a lot, you better write and get permission
yeah. mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
say, because of the audiences that we appeal to, we request the right to change God damn it to damn it.
Wow, you said it.
Well, I mean,
I'm just giving you
yeah,
a hard time.
David can bleep me out.
But yeah.
I mean, then you have to go through the script with a fine tooth comb and pick out every little thing that might offend somebody. I'm sure with some scripts, if you did that, you would wind up with about 30 blank pages.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are some that are like that. And then you got to start thinking about, is this really, if we have to do this,
is it really right
for our audience?
Exactly.
And that goes back to intelligent play selection, I think.
Yep. It does.
I think it is also interesting, though. I mean, and you're right. I mean, we're constantly thinking about that, the play selection. But, you know, our audiences change as well. Things that may have been completely acceptable to our audience 10, 15,
30 years ago,
or not even maybe
we
not even that long ago,
we
5 years ago,
now.
Sometimes
yeah.
things have changed so much literally over the last 5 years in this country that sometimes, you know, and especially here in the Midwest, we may not have been able to produce a show this year that we could have produced 5 years ago.
Because
that's sad to me.
I think because
very sad.
Because I think
mentalities sometimes change quickly. I think that this area has become much more conservative than it was, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Really?
I think
okay.
so.
You feel that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You should sit and see what we have to go through when we're picking a play.
Yeah.
It's an interesting process. We've done it before, maybe twice before, but right. now we probably couldn't do it because somebody's going to get offended.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not a good one to talk on this subject.
But the fact is that it doesn't just extend to things like profanity. It also goes back to a show like You Can't Take It With You, okay? And there's something that it's not adult, but it's there's a potentially offensive aspect of that for the politically correct in that show, right? Mm-hmm.
Which is
putting the two servants in they're cast as black in the original play.
Do you know when that was written?
Sure. But if you did, I'm saying produce it that way, and it may be an offensive thing to some folks in the audience. And I'm not sure I would disagree necessarily.
I would. I'm sorry.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm very much about if something was written in a specific time period, mm-hmm. and that's what it's about, and that's the way things were.
Then, you're right. Historically,
then
it is.
You should do it. But to have the maid and the handyman, black or white, it doesn't really make any difference.
No, it doesn't make a lot of difference.
Now, I just saw they're going to do a play in New York that about the president. It was a movie, and it's about the president and the two contenders who are going to be running for that office. And the president, who was played in the movies by Frederick March, is going to be played by James Earl Jones. So bingo, sometimes it doesn't matter.
Is that but yeah, of course, at the time it was made, that would have been considered an impossibility, right?
I don't know.
Maybe not, but it's, yeah.
I think it would probably have been an impossibility at that time.
At that time, you wouldn't have had.
But the point is there's no reason to change it now, except that they want an actor like James Earl Jones to do that role.
They want to update the play to modern. Yeah. Is it a modern setting? They're not doing it in the
period.
It's
not updating it because you put a black actor in that part, David. They just wanted that particular actor.
Okay.
They're not doing it to make a statement. You know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Never mind.
Do you think that, like, when you go
Marcia to... Marcia should never be sorry for her opinions.
We all have them. That's what we're here for, isn't it? That's what we're sharing.
I hope.
Can you tell when you go to see a show that language has been pulled or changed? I mean, does it give you a cringe? I guess maybe if you know the show.
Like their big blank spot in there that's like everybody goes, I think that you may notice that, gee, I have a feeling that should have had more impact, and if they'd used the F word, it probably would have.
Yeah,
I think I've. Of course, in movies, you can tell what they're really saying when they dub the word in. But
they don't do it in movies anymore. They do it on TV.
Yeah, they do it on TV more. But I think you can sometimes tell because there's just the impact may or may not be there when it seems like, gee, this is really strong,
mm-hmm.
and then a word isn't there that maybe. Mm-hmm. Could have been or should have been. I think you can tell. Not every time, but you can tell when it was important.
But I...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't usually tell. I really can't.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Marcia,
though. Not if the actors are good and they're getting across what their character is supposed to be feeling.
Of course,
it doesn't matter.
If you say fudge, you pretty well know they
substitute
the word.
Nobody's ever going to say
fudge. Nobody's
going to
say
David.
That. Yeah, I have to... Well, it could actually be a very funny moment in a show. But...
Fudge. Yeah, really. I don't see that ever happening.
Well, I can see it in a comedy. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it could actually have a great impact on
right.
a comedy. Not so much in Proof. I can't imagine. You know,
no, fudge that. That was a pretty serious play in for the beginning. Yeah, there was.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line of the whole thing. You have to look at the play.
Yeah.
You have to look at what the purpose of it is. Does it enhance the character, which is obviously it's supposed to do. And if it does, then you kind of have to fight to keep it in. If it doesn't, then it doesn't matter. You can change it to fudge or oh golly gosh gee whiz or whatever you want. You know?
But now with say adult situations, you really don't have a lot of choice there.
If you want
to take people out of a out of a double bed and put them in a phone booth, I suppose you could try that. But normally that's not going to work.
No.
And again, and there you're really getting to where you're, you're really meddling with the soul of the script. And that is pretty much forbidden.
Very, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I can't remember. I just heard somewhere where a local high school. Oh, I do know now. No. A local high school. Just they're doing Grease.
And the
lead actress has signed one of those forms saying that she will not kiss a man until she's engaged.
Get out of town.
Totally serious. So they're having to figure out what to do because, I mean, in Greece, everybody's all over each other, you know?
And right.
So they're trying to figure out how to deal with that.
Why did she audition for Greece?
Yeah, really.
That's just, well, you know.
Maybe she didn't know she had to kiss somebody.
Well, Sandy only has to kiss him once, and that's at the very end, and you can't avoid that.
Well, you know? Yeah, I mean, can you?
If she's playing Frenchie, that's different.
Yeah, Rizzo. Well, Rizzo. Yeah. But, I mean, I think nowhere does it say in the script, she must give him her tongue. I mean, it doesn't say anything like that. So, I mean, so I would assume that you could easily get around something like that, even though that's one of those moments where an adult situation is assumed, maybe because we've just seen it that way on stage, we've seen it that way in the movie, and assume that that's the way it's supposed to be. But in the script, it may just say, you know, nothing. Yeah. And we just assume that they need to kiss there.
And then my question is, why is any high school doing Grease?
Well, there is a clean version of it.
They have cleaned up. They've made a clean version of it.
They've made a clean version, which is acceptable.
That must be like a complete rewrite.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, because there's even some of the songs don't really aren't really that clean.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
You'd have to clean up lyrics and all kinds of
things. Grease Lightning, my goodness.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no way to really good, well, goodly, welly, whatever the word is.
Right.
What's the adjective there? Adverb. Clean that up.
Never mind.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Here's our word from here is be an adult. Don't cuss.
Oh, my Lord.
I think, and just understand your audiences, and if it's a show that has that, you really may want to rethink the show.
You may want to make some choices.
And if it's going to offend them language-wise, so it'll probably offend them on a lot more levels than just language.
Or you can, and I guess the other question is this play worth it? You know, some plays have obscenity or adult language, euphemistically called it, just frankly aren't worth producing. Mm. Whereas, say, a Glengarry Glen Ross or something that is maybe a little deeper is certainly worth it.
Yeah.
You know, but again, if your audiences are gonna walk out after three lines, you haven't accomplished anything.
Right. Then you know what, you really have to draw the line somewhere, because I have seen, not necessarily in our theater, but I have seen people sit through a play, a musical, and then write a horrendous letter afterwards about how dare they, you know, do this because it showed the African American character who was supposed to be a slave in a bad light. And, you know, I mean, come on, if you're doing Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn, you just got to go with it, because
that's the
what
story
it is.
And it's the history. Yeah. Sure. Sure, and that goes back to your point about you can't take it with you. But, you know, that...
You can't make Jim white.
No, Jim can't be white. Mm-hmm. And you really can't clean up some of the colloquial language in those stories,
nope,
depending on how it's done. So,
not to keep the flavor of the show.
Well, and I think, okay, you're saying you should look at it and maybe it's not worth doing if you have to change it that much. I also think the potential audience should look at and find out if they have any doubts about the play or the content or the language. They should make it their business to find out more about it before they come in, take a seat, and decide they don't like it and tell their friends they don't like
it.
Right.
Ask questions.
Yeah,
an informed public is the best public you can possibly have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and then they get to make their choices based on their information.
So make your choice, clean or dirty, right? No. It's not, we're not really talking about dirty. We're talking about we're talking about kind of a continuum here. And of course, your community is it's important to know your community. I think that's kind of the big message there, isn't it?
Sure.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have for Theater Geeks episode number 30. Whoa. Please check us out at the website at theatergeeks.com. Also go to the Theater Geeks store. You can follow us on Twitter. You can also sign up for our newsletter and get updated when new episodes come out from the website. And also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. or go to the Zune Marketplace and pick up the podcast there as well.
Wow, we're famous.
We're famous. You didn't know all this?
I didn't.
Oh, okay, well,
when are we getting paid?
Been there forever. all right.
That's how famous we are.
That's right. Okay, well, anyway, thanks for joining us for this episode. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Beep 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 Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.